Okay, today's daf is daf Chaf Zayin, and we continue. Rabbi Yochanan says, "B'shem Rabbi Yanai, Shama la minhada." But Shama la minhada is not connected with doing last year. That's why I'm not doing Chazar at this point. But rather, it's the just what we described as saying when it comes to the Avodah Zarah of an Akum, it has bittul, and of an Israel, it does not have bittul. But first, we're talking about the bittul applies to the Avodah Zarah, which is what Dov was asking last year. Where do we know this for? What's the basis of the distinction? So let's have a look. He learns from the following. So, Imhara lo tachmod kesef v'zav aleihem. When you know that desire, the kesef and zahav that's on them, upon them, is the avodah zarah. At, meaning you, einat chomed v'lo keach, you can't take it. You're in Israel. Aval achirim chomdim v'at lo keach. Others can take it, they can mevatel it, they can desire it, and then you can take it. That's the basis of bittul, that in the hands of a akum can mevatel it. Rav Yochanan amar lebar brusai, which is, who was an akum, that he wanted to go him to go down to the into the Merchatzat Tever area and then mevatel all the Avodah Zarah that was there. However, in other words, because you need because a goy can mevatel the Avodah Zarah of another goy. But Nachavatavar coolly went and broke all of them, parachad except for one. But lama ken, why so? Amar Rav Yosef bar Bun, mipnei shenichshad Yisrael echad liot makater alav, because it was suspected that there was an Israel that was over there that worshipped that idol, and Avodah Zarah of an Israel, bittul doesn't apply to it. We haven't seen the source of that yet, but that's what we've learned it in before. Rav Chiya bar Ashi says b'shem Rav, Rebbe hava yativ umatnil Rebbe Shimon, b'rei, he was coming to teach, Rebbe was sitting and teaching Rebbe Shimon his son. Now, if you remember, when last year we said the gears we have in our Mishnah, sorry, the Mishnah in Yerushalmi is Veshel Israel. Here we've got the gears we have in our Mishnah in the Bavli, which is Veshel Chaveiro. Okay, that's what he taught it. So then Gemara then continues. What are you talking about? While you were still, you had your koach with you, meaning when you were younger. You used to teach our Tani Tani, Hanochim Avtel, Avodah Zarah, Veshel Israel, also the Avodah Zarah in Israel. So, now, it's important to understand that the Pnei Moshe, it's not clear, so clear in the Gemara, that says that he's able to mevatel the Avodah Zarah of Israel, Keshehem Beshutafot Abba Avodah. The chiddush is not that a goy can. What's the teaching is not that a goy can mevatel the avodah zarah of a Jew. Forget that. That's out of the question. What it means in the case of the Mishnah of a goy can mevatel the avodah zarah of a Jew, at least the Havamina, is if there was a Jew and a goy having shutafot in that, because there's a shutafot in this avodah zarah that the shuf of a goy. That's why a goy can mevatel it. That was a Havamina, and that's what the Mishnah was talking about. I didn't mention that yesterday. Amar lo b'ni says no, that's not the case. Avodah zarah she'avdei Israel ein lo bittul olam. Avodah Zarah that were Jew worship, there's no bittul, even if there was a shutafot with a goy. Rama brings this halach. So Vatanikan. So therefore, you can't read Avod Agnochri Mevatel Avodah Zarah Shel Israel. Rather, it has to be like he ended up teaching Shel Shelov Veshel Chaveiro instead. Yafet. Vatanikan Rishuva Manasi Omer Avodah Zarah Shabda Israel Ein Lo Bittul Olam. Doesn't that you can't mevatel it? Rav Matniya Bashem. B'shem Taima Dahin Tanaya, he explains what's the basis of why Avodah Zarah Israel can't be mevatel, because it says Arur Ha'ish Asher Yaseh Pesach Masechah Le'olam. But again, the Ikar part we're learning is from the rest of the pasuk. It says the Tovat Hashem Maaseh Yadei Charash V'sam Beseter. Meaning that once it's been worshipped, it can only be psalm beseter, can only be placed to a beseter. It can't be bittul. That means it's also forever. It must be like nignaz, if they call it that. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Bar Kafra Eshkechad is Katsar. He found a ring that had Avodah Zarah on it. He didn't pick it up, importantly. He saw Chatali, he saw a young Aramai. Havu Pari Batru, it was running after it. Havu Machile. He hit him, have make him, I cursed him, and Hava Amar is trying to compel him to say rock Allah, spit on it. Vulomekabel. He wouldn't do it. Ishtin Allah, urinate in front of it, Vulomekabel, and he didn't accept it. In other words, what is he trying to do? He was trying to compel this young Aramean child to mevatel the Avodah Zarah. So Hada Amar, what do you learn from this story? You learn Nochri Mevatel Avodah Zarah. You can see a Nochri can not only mevatel on his own avodah zarah, also from somebody else, and that can even be done Baal Korcho if he's compelled to do so, because he was trying to compel him to do so. See, however, and that's provided the person understands the nature of the Zavozara, because once he saw that he didn't, that this child was running after it, that he appreciated, understood the value, this is an Avodah Zarah, and he understood it. There's a question whether he has to mamash be Ovedat, or at least understand it's an Avodah Zarah. That was a prerequisite to him being able to compel or attempt to compel this Aramean kid to Mevatel the Avodah Zarah, because he wanted it. There's a few other things to mention. By the way, look in the Rambam, it's kind of interesting here. He says it doesn't apply to a katan of a zara. You can't have a katan. But it seems to Yerushalmi here, we're talking about even a katan he was trying to do was player. Unless maybe he's not a katan, maybe he's just a younger Aramea. I'm not sure how the Rambam would understand this. However, it says another important thing is Hada Amra Avodah Zarah She'avda with an Aleph, Pnei Moshe says here, Biyad Israel, that was lost and discovered by an Israel and has already picked it up, then Ein Lo Bitul Olam. Meaning, if you go and find an Avodah Zarah and you pick it up, you can't now go to Nochri and say, can you bevatel it? How do we learn from the story? Because in the story, he found it, he didn't pick it up yet. And he said, and he tried to get this other goy to mevatel the Avodah Zarah before he picked it up. Because the understanding from the Gemara, when mashma from the story there, had he picked it up, it'd be too late. Hey, that's how Pnei Moshe understands the flow of the Sugya. The Gemara says, but one second, let's say, but to say, what about this? What is this ring that was found on the ground? Why don't you treat it like Avodah Zarah shehinichu ovdeha, b'tayah? This is something we're going to learn, and I promise we will be learning. We will get Mitzvah Shem, we'll get to it. But there, if an Avodah Zarah is abandoned, it's left behind, and importantly, in its circumstance where the person didn't have to run away, it was deliberately left behind. Then, for example, B'Shat Shalom, we discussed, it's time of peace, and they just said, oh, we're not interested, and we moved on. Then it's a fact of mevatel. So why do we say the ring that was lost is like that? That it was an abandoned Avodah Zarah? So no, he says, mevatla. Now it's not that Israel can mevatel it. It's a funny lasha once again. So I read the Pnei Moshe. He says, batela means that it was deliberately left behind, then Israel mevatla means kolomar muta Israel lakacha. Then Israel can take it because it had already been assumed to be mevatla, the fact that it was left behind consciously. However, this situation of kolomar muta Israel lakacha, meaning kamo hacha de aveda hi veshalom midat nafla, that was just dropped. It wasn't left behind intentionally. So therefore, you need, like in our case, you need to go to mevatla. It's not automatically batel. Okay, let's continue. Rav Amar Bimus Lo Batil. So this sugya needs a little bit of work. And then the Mefarshim explained it differently. Again, we'll be consistent with our Derech and explained according to Pnei Moshe. He says, and by the way, we made reference to this, if you remember, a number of dapim ago, or at least the flow of this sugya, and was discussed, and if you remember, the Ribbaz said that what we had earlier was shouldn't have is like a copy paste error, and it was really should be it relates to here. But okay, Pasel, let's look at it now. Rav Amar Bimus Lo Batil. Now Bimus Lo Batil, a Bimus, if you remember, is the platform on which an Avodah Zarah was usually seated. Okay, and we discussed the Bimus before with the Shlosh Avanim, three types of Avanim. So there's two ways to understand what he's saying here. Bimus Lo Batil. We'll go use the second explanation that Pnei Moshe says. This is from the Inami. Drav Ka'amar, Bimus lo batel, afal pishenifkam, even if it hasn't to have a little bit chipped out of it. Okay? We say lo batel kishavada zara shenishpa, like any avada zara that might have broken. Why? We've seen previously that if a avada zara breaks on its own, there's a question of whether it's batel or not. Okay. However, mikoma bimus, this platform, lo ichpat lo, he doesn't really care if it's a little bit broken. So far, so good. However, what are we mashma from this? The Gemara then takes the next step and is mashma, ha'im bitlo batel. But if he was mevatel it deliberately, then it would be batel. Okay, meaning you went, the Akum went to this Bimus and said, I'm not interested anymore. Exactly how was mevatel, he smashed or did something to it, we'll discuss later on. Okay? In other words, the because the assumption is that he's still interested to worship it. Meaning a little dent in it's not going to put him off. Alma, Importantly, Bnei Moshe's understanding is we can be mashma from here that the bimus has the status of the Avodah Zarah itself. Okay, but that runs into a problem. Machalav shita de Rav, the Taman who omer mizu hametiach kosel avodah zara nesar miyad v'hachat amerhachin. If you remember, if you recall, we talk about the shlosha bimusim, the three shlosha avanim, three stones. One of them was a bimus, and the bimus is its asu miyad. And then we'll mashma. It actually wasn't Rav. That's why we've got to be careful. As Rebbe Eliezer says that that from here we see that if as soon as someone makes a cup for avodah zara, it's one of the mesham shemeya. Then it is asumiyad as well. So that implies if you're trying to derive from our Mishnah, or that's not our Mishnah, that Mishnah, that to a meshamshe, a accessory to the Avodah Zarah, mashma the bimus is an accessory and not the Avodah Zarah atzmo. That is the steer we're putting on the table. The flow of the sugya now that if it's like, again, if it has a dent in it, it's not batel because you're going to worship it. And you know, effectively equating it with Avodah Zarah, whereas a previous sugya seemed to not equate it with Avodah Zarah, equate it with just being one of the Mesham Shemeya, because we were deriving, if you remember, that even a cup, if you make a cup for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, it is like immediately Asur. And that's clearly one of the Mesham Shemeya. That's how we explained it. That's how that was the derivation we learned then. So the Gemara says here, kan b'shikiter v'kan b'shelo kiter, meaning there's a difference. One is where you keter lebimus, meaning where the bimus itself is worshipped as part of the avodah zara. So shekiter lebimus, some understanding was actually the incense was placed on it, but however it was actually worshipped, and that's where you need the bittul beferush, and that's when it's equated with avodah zara. And the other mishnah with the shoshavanim b'shelo keter, meaning, and therefore it was only accessory to Avodah Zarah. So in other words, a bimus can wear two different hats. It depends how it was involved in the Avodah Zarah process. Okay. The Gemara says, no. A filu tema kan v'kan b'kishter. It could even be that it was actually worshipped, and therefore a bimus always has the status of Avodah Zarah. However, Rav kedaiti to Amar, but Rav's really l'shitato that doesn't learn a cup, meaning that's asumiyad, but rather, Hamiutachin la'avodah zara. Change the gears here. Not amatiach kos. Hamiutachin la'avodah zara nesar miyad. That it's only talking about avodah zara itself as soon as its form becomes asur. But not. That's what we're. That's right. That is what we're learning from the bimus. But not what. If you remember back carefully on daf or chaf bet amabet in mind, but probably chaf gimel amabet in yours. According to our daf, we're learning chaf gimel amabet. Because if we go back to the Mishnah, it says Rav Mizu Amiutachim Lavarot, and it was Rav Yirmiyah said to Rebbe Elazar that derived it to be like a kos. That a kos, oh, we can learn Amatiach Kos Lavarot Zamiyad. So really, it's only Rebbe Elazar that seems to equate this dimos with Mesham Shemeya. But Rav doesn't do that himself. You have to be careful in that sugya. Rav says, "For here we mutachim anything, any object of water worship, as soon as its form is avodah zarah, mashma that the bimus itself is equated with avodah zarah itself, and therefore there's no stira whatsoever." That's first run of the sugya. Next, Rav Amar bimus lo batil, same thing, but we're mashma something else this time. Ham meshamshamin. When it comes to meshamshamin, they're about bitl, meaning if it gets a dent into something, it's batil straight away. Okay, that's what we're mashma. So again, we're equating the bimus with the avodah zarah atzmo. Okay, machalav shita de Rav. We've got a sira in the shita of Rav. Tamana ma Rav sheshet b'shem Rav. B'shehilchu lehem hamahalchim b'derech acheret v'hacha hu amar hachin. So what is this referring to? If you look at the Pnei Moshe, he says as follows. That's gebe bimasot shel nochrim. Okay, which we saw as which is referring to this bimasot of malachim, sorry, of kings. And it says, Hare ele mutrim, they are mutar, mishim mamadim otam b'shacha malachim ovrim. When the kings used to pass by this particular road, there would be this bimus there, and they would take advantage, bimus of paper avodah zarah, then worship along in transit. Okay. However, pa'amim, sometimes they would decide to take a different route. They wouldn't go on the highway one, they'd go on the highway six. Okay? V'hashta, medayi, sorry, upamish malachim b'derech acheret, and if in that situation, ein choshim lahem, we don't have to worry about it. V'hashta medayi, gam ken kedil el, we make the same diuk. Ah, dekam rabba laza, mishmei de rab, mishmei, misham shamei ahavu. That we make the same diuk. In other words, we have to insert a lot of Gemara here according to the reading of Pnei Moshe. Meaning the same diuk we saw Rebbe Elazar said about a matiach kos. So in other words, from that sugya, The sugya are about these bimosot for the malachim that were placed on the roadside. It seems to imply also in that sugya that they're considered like avodah zarah atzmo. Then we go, it's not in the Gemara, but the Panei Moshe says this is how you have to understand the flow. But then we say, oh, but once again, a few daf ago, if you remember, we said, but it seems to equate it with the meshamshamim because of the derivation that of course is asul miyad, same flow of the sugya. So again, the Gemara says, can be kiter, the difference is whether it was worshipped or not. But really, no, it could be that they're both sugyas are talking about where it's worshipped itself. And Rav Kedaita and Rav Zashita told that he doesn't derive regarding a kos being asul miyad, rather mizya again, change the gears, metiach kos, hamyutachin ne'esar miyad. Okay, beseder. Let's continue. Now, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan, matzeva, what is the difference between matzeva and what's the difference between a mizbeach? Both the things are like for avodah zarah purposes on which things were placed. So it says, a matzeva is a single stone and a mizbeach is multiple stones. Okay, avenim merubot. So the Gemara now says, Chizkiya Amar, matzeva, kivan shepagama, a matzeva, once it has a dent in it, like it's been, oh, no, I shouldn't say dent, it's been chiseled into it or something, the maaser, then it's a bit like, it is mevatel. Mizbeach, however, it's not enough to dismantle a mizbeach, you'd also have to lifgom kol evan ve'evan. You'd have to also, every stone in order to battle it, each in the stone individually, the goat would have to, dent every single stone. Okay. However, many chizkiya, that we've got a bright from chizkiya that seems to be cholek on it. Now, interestingly, his own brighter is cholek on him. Meaning, if you saw above, chizkiya said, matzeva, kevin shel pagama, pitla, mizbeach, tzrich lefagem, kol evan ve'evan. With the mizbeach, you have to dent every single one. But the man brighter that chizkiya brought seems to be contradict his position. That's why I just want to make that stress that point here. Okay. Because it says, Natatzet, if you dismantle the Mizbeach, Hanachlo, that's it's enough. That's sufficient. Shavata Mizbeach, then Anachla. In other words, for a Mizbeach, it's sufficient just to pull it apart. For the goy to put take all the stones, pull it apart, and it doesn't have to come and dent every single one of the stones to mevatel it. For a Matzeva, which is only one stone anyway, it seems you've got to do it. That's the brighter, which is soter, Chizkiya said himself, because Chizkiya himself said that even once you take apart this mizbeach, you've got to dent every, so the goy has to dent every stone to mevatel. Okay, the Gemara says, Rav Zira, according to Moshe, he says it's also cholek on this brighter. He says you learn it from the pasuk itself. It says Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Nachman says b'shem Rav Hoshaya, Rav Chiya Rabba, Rav Elazar says b'shem Rav Hoshaya. So he's taking all the Avnei Mizbeach, and it seems to be they're being mamashed, shmeist. All right? It says, bitzatam, until it's like all its rubble is removed from the world. Okay. Hanachla, Hanachla. Now, what's a baram? In other words, you have to understand the words differently. Meaning, I'll just explain it to you. The Bnei Moshe says, "Karada achadashinan akenit." This is how you have to understand it, the pasuk, because the pasuk itself, what does it say? The pasuk it says, "Lota." One second. Yeah, "Minitatzta mizbachotam matzevotam." So nitatzta seems to be sufficient to take apart the mizbeach. Vishibarta seems to be sufficient to, you need to, that's when you, what do you have to shibarta? And that's a matzeva. Okay? Now he's going to show that the bright, this is, which is, seems to be the simple reading of the pasuk that the bright understood. Mizbeach, it's enough to take it apart. But what Zira is doing is saying, no. Again, he brought a proof from the previous pasuk in terms of having to utterly, like, what's the pasuk before it, sorry. But how does any understand the pasuk? He says, no. Debein netitza ben shvira is on the metzeva itself. Okay. Sheim natatzta, if you dislodge this, or shavarta, or you smash the metzeva, hanachla, that's enough. No, not you, the goyim bevatel it that way. Kolomar dahadichtiv gam metzevotim v'netatzten. So this is also, by the way, an instruction to destroy the mizbechot as well. So it applies to us as well, not just bittul. Okay. When it comes to mizbeach, however, even after you've taken apart, you've separated the stones, zumizul, now each of them is like a matzeva on their own. They're individual stones, no? Because what's the difference between mizbeach and a matzeva? A matzeva is individual stones, and mizbeach is multiple stones. So once you separate it, now you've just got it multiple. All you've achieved is created multiple matzevas. So v'tzurichata, therefore, the Torah says you're going to destroy, utterly destroy them. Now atatzurich l'shaber kol echad echad kele kama, not nim et shel zel lezul. Like we'll learn later on that the shibarti v'ochel are going to destroy it, utterly destroy them as well. Now the Gemara says, "Ktiv," it says, "Lo taseh lachem elilim." O pesel o matzeva lo takimu lachem. Okay, you're not allowed to ta'aseh, and you're not allowed to takim. The Gemara says, lo asiyah kima, what's the difference between erecting and creating? Are they the one and the same thing? So Amar Avila, no, asiyah betchila kima kol she'ilo tipol lo ikimeno. That there's one is one issur of creating it, another one, if it's fallen, re-erecting it. That's also the Avera. Okay, let's continue. Then it says, ktiv unet, again, the pasuk is, v'nitatztem et mezbachotam. Now the Gemara says, minayin. How do we know that netitza also applies to metzevot and shvira also applies to mizbachot? We'll have to explain how this works in a minute. So amra bun varchia litzdari mitamrit o shibur o gidu netitza lekol echad echad. So we're going to explain like Pnei Moshe, and the Pnei Moshe says as follows: what's litzdari mitamrit kolomar? Da'atarvehu kai, that both netitza and shvira applies to both. Devada netitza v'metzeva mahani. Clearly, when it comes to a metzeva, it's enough just to pull it out of the ground and remove it. V'shavarta dichtiv gabah. Why does it have to say shavarta? L'lamedale, to teach something else. When it says v'al mizbechotam, de'lachashi fradata, after you've separated them apart of mizbeach, or tishaber, or break it. V'tigadea kol echad v'echad, o tinatet lekol echad v'echad. Either smash them or like disperse them, I presumably mean, like netitza. Gidea. So netitza is smashing and tigadea is to pull them out, right? So ilo havektiv ela nevetatze. Had it only said, b'mizbeach, you've got to pull it apart. U'matzevotam, havamina de matzeva tzerich netitza. I would have thought matzeva specifically needed netitza. Viva kavati, only that. Havamina would have thought to mizbeach, smashing mizbeach, that might just mean simply being mafrid avanim. That would be sufficient. Isn't that considered breaking the mizbeach? It's not functional anymore. So therefore, that's why I need tarveo to teach about both of them. The mizbeach, it's not sufficient to pull the stones apart. You need the titza and shvira, or shvira, okay, or gideal shvira. Sorry. Okay, B'seder. Let's continue. This is now Halacha Hey. The Mishnah says as follows: Ketzad mevatla, has a goy mevatel the avodah zara. Either, let's say, he cuts after him, Kiter Rosh, he knocks off the cuts off the head, Ozna. Sorry, Rosh Ozna, the tip of the ear, sorry, or Rosh Chotma, or the tip of the nose, that's sufficient. Rosh Etzba, the tip of the finger, that's a sign that he's mevatel avodah zara. He doesn't have to, sorry, not to, obviously doesn't have to knock off the head, but that Rosh Ozna, Rosh Chotma, or Rosh Esba, that's sufficient. Or Pechasa, or he dented it, he punched it in. Afal pishalok Yisrael, even if there's nothing chaser, he's shown he's done a maaser that demonstrates he does not consider this thing as an idol anymore. However, rakak befaneh, ishtim befaneh, if he just spits in front of it, or urinates in front of it, or garar, or he drags it in the mud, zarak bet, so he throws dung at it, hare ze'enu batela, that is not mevatela. Why? Moshe says, l'fum, because people had a funny relationship with Avodah Zarah. They get angry at it. They would do disrespectful acts in front of it, but it doesn't mean it was mevatela. They'd calm down and then make up and bow to it once again. So, unless it's a substantial mace that changes Avodah Zarah, like punching it in or cutting off the ear or nose or whatever it is, that's not considered such a bittul. Now, what's very interesting here, the Mefarshim asked, sort of scratched their head and asked a question is, if you remember what the story with, who was it, the Bar Kafra, when he found this ring, he grabbed a child to try and make him, he saw the child running after him, trying to mevatel it, he told him to do what? Spit in front of it or urinate in front of it, right? As an act of bittul. And he was saying it doesn't work. Okay, but there are far too many different ways of explaining it, and I've tried to look up a few of them to really understand the answers. But it seems to be that somehow it seems to be that in certain context, when it's not derech avodah b'kach and it's clearly shown as a sign of like vitel, then it would work. Okay, something along those lines. But we need to understand. But again, it needs more thought. Okay, let's continue. Machra or mishkana? What if the goy sells it or gives it as a mashkon? Is that considered bittel or not? So Rabbi Omer, it's bittel, it's bavatel, and the Chachamim is lo bittel, it's not considered bittel. Okay, so let's look at the Gemara on that particular case. Ketzel bavatel. So Amar Zira, how did the tema b'shemachra? What's the case that they're debating where they're selling it? A goy selling his idol is considered considered like a bittel or not? Meaning, what's a machloket? If it's Maratach B'tach Shalom, that's when the machloket is. And he seems to be completely at peace with the idol. We're not sure what his intention is then. Is he selling it because he's batalon, or is he selling it because maybe he wants somebody else to worship? We don't know. If because he's angry at it, he's given up with it, and he's demonstrated I'm not interested in this thing anymore. Well, Dibra called the tailor. Clearly, that's not a problem. Clearly, that's batel, right? In other words, we have to understand the context in which he's selling it. And in terms of the debate, seems to be where we don't, where he seems to be pretty calm and cool and collected. That's when the debate is in terms of what, is that considered bittel or not? And so the key are because this is when he's hungry and like referring to the Avodah Zarah here, and it says v'kilel. In other words, it's just showing this disdain towards the Avodah Zarah itself. However, Zaur Bar Chanina says b'shem Rab Chanina. He says as follows: No, that's b'shamachra. That's when he's selling it to. Now you've got Latzorech here, but Latzorech is a smelt, someone who's a smelter, right? That's where the machloket is. Aval amichma la'avodah, divra kol ein batela. In other words, the first shita was saying it depends what the temperament of the person was at the time when he was selling it. If he was calm, that's a debate. If he was angry, clearly he's not interested anymore. Now he's saying no. What makes a difference is not the temperament, is the context of what he's selling it for. Meaning, if he's selling it for, it says the tzorech for a here, I'll show you tzorech mistama kanaz le tzorech melachto kagon tzorech Yisrael some sort of smelter divra kol betela. In that situation, everyone agreed. Oh, 1 second. Oh, interesting. Ah, that's the next one. Sorry, I went too far. The tzorech nikol shalakach lo kana. That is the wrong penemosh. A few lines up. Shalakach lo kana el le tzoreko kagon shu tzorefu meticha melacha b'haka amar Rebbe Bittel. That's where Rebbe Bittel says, well, if you're selling it to someone who's going to use it as scrap metal, clearly he's mevatel it in the process. Whereas it sounds like chimecholik. We'll see Rebbe Yehuda next year who says the opposite. Aval imachal avda if it's sold for someone, it says kolam she'enu yadu bavadai shekana le tzorech melachto. Maybe he bought the purchase, he sold it under the guise the person might want to worship it himself. Then everyone agrees it's not Batela because clearly the person is thinking, this is my idol, you want to worship it too? Fantastic, here you go. And I'm selling it for a cost. Okay, we'll see next year is already a year, so I jumped ahead of the game a bit. Other trying to understand exactly what is it that is debated in context of selling, and when does everyone agree it's clearly not Batel, and when does everyone agree it clearly is Batel. Okay, just said we're trying to understand the scope of the debate. Set it. All right, Colton.
Having a hard
Have a
time
good
understanding.
day.
How can it be that one goy can be mevatel a different goy's avodah zarah?
Well, it's a good question, but it seems to be that what we said last in the beginning of this year is that it's a learn from a pasuk. It's a you need, you're right, you might need a drash from a pasuk. That a goy can mevatel the avodah zarah of another goy.
They could be enemies. I mean, they could have no emunah in
It's
each
actually
other's
interesting,
avodah zarah.
interesting because it sounded like from our sugya, all he has to understand is the tiv, the nature that this is worshipped. The Rambam, however, let me just show you the Rambam. I looked it up before Shir. Let me just get it for you. The Rambam on this that's referenced in this sugya. Let me just show it to you here. First, he brings a din we saw in the sugi. This is much faster. Avodah Zarah shel Yisrael in a betel olam. Fine. Even if the goy's got a shoot foot in a kulum, asura b'hanayah le'olam. That's what we said. Batun gniz, that's to put away. Some besetters, we said, asugya. Kol avodah shel goy shebal lidei Yisrael, once a Jew gets it, v'achar kach batla, ha'goy enu bitol. In other words, that's also sort of asugya. Once it comes into possession, you find an idol, you on an archaeological dig, you take it home. Too late. It's still asugya. You can't goy kembo. Ein betol begol. Ela asura b'hanayah le'olam. Ve'en Yisrael. Now, goy katan or shoyta in the battle of Avodah Zarah. actual goy katan kama vatel. That was the question. What is how young was this talia in asugya?
Yeah.
The goy should be tell avodah zara ben shelo ben shel goy acharim baal korcho. He can be forced to mevatel the avodah zara of if his friends. Afal pishan so Israel akach. Another thing we learn from Asugi today. However, ubilvachia goyim avatel oved avodah zara. Aval imisha eno oved eno bitol emin bitol bitol. Now I'm not sure what this means. It sounds like provided this other goy also worshipped that idol. That's what it sounds like,
Right.
right? Which is different to what I think the some of the other. If I've understood the Rambam correctly, this is my a very surface level thing. Whereas others seem to say that no, he has to understand it's an avodah zara, even if he doesn't actually hold that to be a god himself, avodah zara himself. Doesn't worship that type of avodah zara. So again, what's the scope of it? But at the end of the day, it's something from Sokol. Okay, said it. All right, cool.
Thank you.